This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Chrissy Orr and Andy Prim from El Otro Lado in the Schools program, and Seth Biederman and Gayla Bechtol from the Inspire Santa Fe program. All of these are programs of the Academy for the Love of Learning, and we're here to talk about some events that are coming up. Welcome, everybody, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's talk first about Inspire Santa Fe. What's it all about?
Inspire Santa Fe is a program that's run jointly by the Academy for the Love of Learning, where I work, and Siete del Norte. And Siete del Norte is a 40-year-old community development corporation that's been around mostly in kind of the northern New Mexico counties, the seven counties of the north, for a long time, doing kind of basic service work. And the director of Siete del Norte, Todd Lopez, is an old friend of mine, and he and I kind of teamed up with Aaron Stern, the founder of the Academy and the current president. And we were also working with the good folks at Monte del Sol, which is a longstanding mentorship program. And we began to look at what we can do to kind of create a sort of learning network that exists outside of school. So Aaron Stern, again, the president of the Academy, calls it school outside of school. And the mechanism we use to get people of all ages really thinking about learning systems outside of school was mentorship. So we asked kids in the community what they wanted to learn. And they could say anything from kung fu to basketball to architecture. And then we said, great, we're going to find somebody in the community who can help you learn that. And that's how Gayla got involved. Last year was our pilot year. We got great support from the city of Santa Fe. Javier Gonzalez, the mayor, is real interested in this program. And actually, through economic development, he gave money to Siete del Norte. And with the help of the Academy, we set up 45 mentorships last year from kids all over Santa Fe, involving kids all over Santa Fe from different schools. And we kind of just called people we knew or that were referred to us, to see if they'd be willing to spend time with a kid, helping the kid explore something he or she was passionate about.
Now, how do these kids find you, and who are these kids? I mean, are they just like the most motivated kids?
Great question. We're very strategic about where we started, because we wanted our first pilot year to be successful. So we approached three schools to find the kids, four schools actually, but the three principal schools were schools where where I knew the principals, and the principals were leaders who either had some sort of mentorship program already going and were willing to kind of pass it off to us, or we knew they believed in the model. Like Mary Massey, the principal of Santa Fe High, was trained in this type of mentorship model years ago when she was at a teacher at Capitol High. So we went to Mary, and in most cases, yes, there are kids who are motivated enough to sign up for the program.
So it's not one of those things where it's like the kids who need it most, but it's the kids who most want it.
Yes, but all kids, a lot of these kids do need mentors.
Yeah.
It's tricky, because a lot of times the conversation in this country, when you talk about mentoring, because mentoring is really hot right now, is how can we help kids get through, the kids who are failing, how can we help them get through the system?
Right.
And so we bring in tutors, and we bring in people from the business community who will teach them how to shake hands and look people in the eye and do these, you know, learn these kind of social cues or these soft skills that will enable them to get through high school and then maybe get through college and then maybe get a job. That's not the approach we're taking, though. That I think that approach is super important. Our theory is that if we get kids really engaged and motivated in learning something that they love, then which wealthier kids have always had the opportunity to do. You know, when I was growing up here in Santa Fe, my mom was like, well, do you want to study music? Do you want to, you know, do you want to go to a soccer camp? Do you want to, you know, what do you want to do? So I had access to all these ways to follow my pursuits. And so we're extending that same thing, to that same opportunity, to all kids. Like the kids who Gayla has worked with come from solid families, but they don't come from, they're not particularly wealthy families.
You know, it really is a sign of how much things have changed, because back in the day, including my day, you didn't have to be wealthy to learn a little bit about music or go to soccer camp. I mean, it was a middle-class thing.
Uh-huh. Well, I think the schools do a good job, and the city does a good job of making a fair number of opportunities available to kids, you know, whether they have money or not. But in the case of Gonzalo, for example, who's now an eighth grader at the new Santa Fe Public School called Mandela, Gonzalo is very interested in studying architecture. And, you know, middle class or whatever age you are, or economic status you have, that's kind of a hard thing for a kid to be able to study. And, you know, the big thing in education right now, everyone's really excited about technology because they think kids will be able to study whatever they want. But what our program does is actually finds a person. And so in this case, Gayla, who knows a lot about architecture. She's an accomplished architect who's done great projects here in town and elsewhere, and was willing to give a couple hours of her week to Gonzalo so he could study his passion.
So tell us about what that relationship is like. You're an architect.
I'm an architect, and as it turns out, Gonzalo's family came to the first meeting, and his parents would drop him off at my office every week, and he and I would talk. And he, as it turns out, really wanted to make a paper recycling machine in order to save the world. And so that was his goal that was his passion. And so even though it wasn't straight architecture, we did do a design problem process where, this is our problem. So we defined the problem. He learned a lot more about paper recycling, as did I, that I ever knew, and how you do it and the chemicals involved and the pollution that happens and, what are we going to do about that? And so as we went through the whole process, we did end up making a model of a paper recycling machine, and we made a short little video of how it would work if it were a real machine. And we had a lovely, Gonzalo is a great student, very passionate. And I understand, he's doing basketball this year, architecture.
And how old was he when he came to you?
Well, he's seventh grade, so 12.
Okay.
So really, really young. And yeah. It was fun. It was fun for me. I learned a lot more, it confirmed for me what I already knew, which is a lot about architecture. And you forget when you're in the profession for 30 years what you know, because you just do it automatically. But when you have to explain it to someone, then you realize, and then, you know, I found myself imitating my professors. Oh, you got to see this book, and oh, you got to see that book, and oh, you got to know about this. And so you get really excited about the things that you were excited about when you started out. So it was a really fun thing, which is why I did it again this year.
And Gonzalo started reading those books and getting excited.
He did, you know, it was also extracurricular. So he also played basketball. And so, you know, we had to work around schedules and things like that, but it was extra. He's really motivated. His family is really motivated for him to succeed. And I think it makes a huge difference.
Now, are you going to take on another student?
Next year?
Yeah.
Well, this year she did. So that was last year. And then this year we called her up about Adrian.
Yes, I have a senior at Santa Fe High this year, another motivated student. He had an architecture intern or an architecture mentor last year, and they created a model from the Santa Fe High CNC machine in their lab. They have
CNC?
Don't ask me what it means. It's a router that builds models from a program that you create in the, you know, in the computer, and then I don't think the CNC is extruded. It's actually a model making machine that it has it on layers. So they made a model of his dream house that they had designed on the side of a mountain and a lake on one of the reservoirs in Santa Fe. It was an imaginary house. And this year, Adrian and I have gone backwards in some ways and drawn it by hand. And so he's getting the benefit of the technology and also the doing it from your fingers and your brain from a different perspective.
Do you talk to the kids about that, like what is gained and what is lost with these technological aids?
Adrian and I have talked about it because I've had to make it clear why we're going backwards. To him, not to him, but I mean, why we're doing it this way, so that you can have a strong base. In architecture, it is a trend, or I guess in the world, that technology is taking over, so that you can practically design something on the computer that, you know, it's amazing, but what's the real meaning of it in our world? And that's, I wanted to be able to talk to Adrian about that.
So all of this is happening. There is an event this coming Friday, the 22nd of April at 4:30, and that's at the farmers market?
That's at the farmers market. So a key component of this program, it's kind of like the tree falling in the forest. You know, this beautiful learning is happening all over the city, in Gayla's office, but at Auto Care 2000 on Siler Road. She's mentoring the mechanic. There's mentoring three young people. Nelson Lopez at Santa Fe Computer Works is mentoring a young man. So all this mentoring is happening, and we want to make sure that the city sees it and that the mentors and proteges are seen. So in conjunction with our El Otro Lado in the schools program, which will be on display across the street at the same time, we're going to showcase 75 mentorships that happen across the city. And the proteges, as we call the young people, and their mentors will be there. We've designed a new, we had t-shirts last year. This year we had a graphic design mentorship, and they took on the t-shirt design, and the new t-shirts are awesome. So we'll have everyone throw on t-shirts, and then we've invited the community to come, and we invited people. As people come in, we'll ask them if they want to be reviewers, which means they will come and actually, it's a form of assessment, to use education speak. They'll come in, and an architect, for example, will stop by the table where Adrian and Gayla will have Adrian's model, and the architect will say, "So what did you learn?" And they can begin to talk about CNCs and all this stuff that none of us understand except them. It's an exciting event. The mayor will be there. He was a mentor this year in community leadership. So he'll be there with his protege, and he'll give his speech. And some of the performing arts mentorships will be, you know, doing little pop-up performances and guitar and some voice and piano. So it should be a really fun evening. And we're kind of trying to create a festive event, a festive air in the rail yard with the El Otro Lado exhibit happening next door.
Which we're going to talk to in just a moment. Seth Biederman and Gayla Bechtel, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now Chrissy Orr and Andy Prim are with the program El Otro Lado in the Schools. It's once again part of the Academy for the Love of Learning. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, this is a program in the Santa Fe school system that is a really interesting and moving program where, I mean, you guys can explain it, but my understanding of it is that using art, you really bring out so much about people's lives, and it becomes as much a social and emotional experience as it does an artistic one, or all those things are kind of combined in one.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Mary Charlotte, that we're using, I mean, I just say the creative process rather than the arts, because I think sometimes the arts kind of confines it. But what we're doing is using creative processes to access people's stories in connection to place. And by doing that, we allow people to see each other in the classroom in a different way. So we pair teachers with teaching artists and take these teachers and teaching artists through a training around how to really delve in to this idea of story and releasing that story and how important it is. So in a way, it's not only just accessing the student's stories, it's also accessing the teacher's story and the TA's story. So in a way, it's reactivating or re-energizing the whole of the classroom. So it shifts that classroom culture.
Well, and one of the things that seems so powerful about this process is that the kids are from all over the place. They're from other countries. And a lot of them have, at their tender ages, dealt with a lot of suffering that one hopes the kids would never have to deal with, but they have. And it's a place to work out some of the feelings that most classroom experiences and probably their home lives don't really give them an opportunity to do.
Right. No, that's exactly true. I mean, I remember one time going into a classroom where they were sharing their stories. And sometimes, as Andy can probably elaborate on a little more than I can, it might take some time for the students and the teachers to feel really at ease to share some of these stories. But when they do, I remember this time where a young guy who had been kind of on the outside of the class, didn't share very much at all, and really didn't take part. And not many people spoke to him. But then one day in circle, everyone was telling a story around an experience that they had made this beautiful kind of shrine to their story, to their journey story. And so they were holding these shrines on their laps and could talk about them. And this young boy actually talked about how at the age of 11, he came by himself up over the border to a family member and how he hadn't seen his parents in 4 years. And that created this whole empathy. There was, you know, some of the girls crying. And at the end of that session, they all kind of went around him and asked him more.
And there he had been among them and nobody knew all this time.
And no one knew it.
So in a lot of ways, you're kind of building family and community within the classroom.
Yeah, in a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly, at the heart of, you know, all of us human beings is this essential longing to belong somewhere.
Andy, tell us about your role in this program.
Well, I am one of the teaching artists. So I go into the classroom and work with the classroom teacher and a specific group of students this year. Maria Del Mar Castillo is the teacher I'm working with. She picked a class that she thought would be the best suited, that, you know, in her opinion. And so all year long, we've worked together intensely with just this group of students and gone through all these sort of things like Chrissy was describing, things, creative processes that connect you to your story and your place and your personality, your individuality, and bring that out in the classroom. So that's my role as a teaching artist in the classroom.
What kinds of changes have you seen or openings have you seen in your students?
I love seeing what happens. I think this program is really, really valuable because, as it's called, El Otro Lado, the other side. And the students, especially, I'm at Ortiz Middle School, so I have that perspective on Santa Fe Public Schools, is it's really somewhat, I mean, it's public school, so you can't get away from it. It's a bit rigid. It's dictated from on high as far as what these kids are doing with every moment and what they're expected to achieve and be tested on and all these sorts of things that they have to cope with. And when you can go in and say, well, what's the other side? What's the purpose of all this? Why are we here? Where do you fit in your community? You know, who are the people you've been hanging out with this whole year in this class? It's so super valuable to be like, there's some value, there's some connection. So like Chrissy was saying, I mean, last year I had eighth graders, and I'll never forget the moment when we were doing one of the key kind of cornerstones of the program, I think, which is the I Am From poem, where all the students do an exercise about I am from, and they write about it, you know, and a lot of them are like, you know, I am from a house that smells like, or I am from, you know, and they say the foods that they eat in their house, or all kinds of things like that. And we got in a discussion about, one of them said, oh yeah, my dad was deported, you know, last year. And of a, just any group, it was like, oh yeah, mine too. Oh yeah, mine too.
Oh my goodness.
And they would all tell the stories of like, and they would start asking each other, oh yeah, how did it happen for you? And oh, it was like a traffic stop. And it was like, I haven't seen him in 4 years, or like really amazing. And these kids are sixth grade, eighth grade, and they've been through these kinds of things, you know, and to be able to have them have a space to talk about it, and then have a space to maybe draw about it, write about it, journal about it, create something that shows that their story is important, is so meaningful, I think, and so important to have happen.
What's it like at the end of the year when the young people come together, they do their presentations, they show it to the public? There's a kind of like, here's who we are.
Yeah, it's really, you know, a witnessing.
Yeah.
So in some ways, without showing this work or putting it out into the larger community, sometimes that's when it lands for the students and the teachers and the teaching artists, I would say. I mean, I just tell it through a story that another young woman actually, at the end event that we did a few years ago, actually this was down in Albuquerque, she came up to me after the end event and she said, Chrissy, now I understand. Now I understand what this was about and what my story is about and how important it is. Because in a way, it was reflecting back to her own story.
Yeah.
So this year, we've had an amazing partnership, collaboration with Site Santa Fe, and we've worked with some of their artists. For example, Ben Haggard, who is actually lives here in Santa Fe, well, between Santa Fe and Berlin. And one of the experiences we take students and teachers and TAs through is actually doing a self-portrait, like kind of revealing the other side of ourselves. And of course, Ben does these amazing portraits of people. So this year we had every class, teacher, TA, staff at the academy actually go through this experience, and they will be this big collaborative self-portrait that will be exhibited in site. So things like that, sometimes it's individual work, sometimes it's collaborative work.
And I have to say, having seen some of the documentation of this, and you have some nice videos on the Academy mm-hmm. for the Love of Learning website, some of the work is really impressive.
It's really impressive. I mean, I think, you know, we have such an incredible team of teaching artists and teachers that are really committed to this work. And I think the partnership between the teacher and the TA actually brings out the best in the students.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the fact that the teachers and the TAs are so emotionally present and willing to reveal themselves gives space for the kids
absolutely.
To do that.
Absolutely. And that's kind of, you know, part of the Academy's work, the Academy for the Love of Learning, is actually it gives us space to really build that for the teacher and the teaching artist, to actually give them some time and space to reflect and to think about the work that they're doing together.
So the event is this Friday, April 22nd at 4:30 at Site Santa Fe. And of course, across the street, the Inspire Santa Fe program is also doing an event. The two are in conjunction along with the Academy for the Love of Learning and also Siete del Norte. So this is a free event at 4:30. Everybody's invited.
Everyone's invited. There'll be food, performances in both places. Like Seth said, you know, this is a real festival of learning, so please come on by. We'd like to see you there.
Chrissy Orr and Andy Prim, and also Seth Biederman and Gail Bechtol, thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.